I closed with Romans chapter 7, verse 12, where we read, "Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good." I opened this year with one of the most misunderstood and controversial sections of God's Word in the whole Bible, Romans 7, 13 to 25. This section of God's Word deals in great depth with the truth regarding the renewed mind and the key to power, or the battle of the senses versus revelation believing, or the battle of the old man against the new man. Let's read Romans 7, beginning with verse 13. "What then? That which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful." Verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual." It's given by God. "But I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate or dislike, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent or agree unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." Verse 19, "For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." Verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Verse 25, "I thank whom? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." The primary will of God for every believer is many times, far removed from its outworking in the life of the believer. The ideal, the Word of God and will of God, and the experiential, for far too many believers, may be years apart. For instance, Israel. When God told Moses to tell the children of Israel that it was time to leave for the promised land and that they were to exit, he told them that they were to cross the Red Sea and go into the promised land. So when Israel exited from Egypt, they did cross the Red Sea. Even though they were to move quickly into the promised land, which was the Word of God and the will of God, the primary will of God, they never moved in quickly. Instead, it took them 40 years to get in the promised land. So the ideal, the will of God, the ideal will of God, the Word of God, was years separated from the reality experientially of the fulfillment of that word in their life. This is the record of Romans 7 that I've just read. The delivered believer class should immediately, after he's born again, possess his legal sonship rights. The more abundant life, more than conquerors. I can do all things through whom, which strengthens me. At the name of Jesus, every knee must bow, heaven above, earth beneath. Every believer should claim and use his God-given ability immediately. This is the primary will of God. This is the word of God to the believer, to use his power of attorney. When we are born again at that moment, of us it is true, beloved, now are we what? The sons of God. It is Christ in us, the hope of glory. It is Christ as our intercessor. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It is being filled with all the fullness of God. But the practical experience, as I have observed it through the years and as I see it in the Word, for most believers, indicates a different route of travel. Why? Because our old man is not quickly enough replaced by the new man. And so we remain in the conflict, experiencing or continuing to experience the captivity of the law of sin that resides in the body of the old man, continuing to have its outworking through man's unrenewed mind. The tendency for most believers after they're born again is to continue with the added light that they have to work on themselves, to subdue the flesh by better works, by better habits, by rules, by regulations, by resolutions for holy living, especially New Year's. Ad infinitum, always subdue the flesh. They're ignorant of the truth experientially that the old man, unrenewed mind, knows no rules, and that the new man, renewed mind, needs no rules. One is the law of sin and death. The other is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Newness of life. Instead of simply and believingly just reckoning the old man dead, to have died with and in Christ, experientially, many continue seeking to put it to death. Instead of reckoning the old man crucified with Christ, we continue to believe we must crucify it for ourselves. But God crucified it once and for all with Christ. And once is enough. It cannot be more. It cannot be crucified again and again. He has done it. He has done it in himself on Calvary. Look at Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man was, is the text, crucified with him. The old man was what? Crucified. If he was crucified, then he can't be crucified again. He is what? Crucified. That settles it. Look at Galatians chapter 2. Galatians 2, verse 20. I was crucified with whom? It's past tense. It's over with. I was crucified with Christ. Look at Galatians 5, verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. It has been crucified for them. in 6:14, God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the Lord Jesus Christ, the world, was crucified unto me, and I unto what? The world. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the what? So walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with what? Thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man, anyone, spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the outward ordinances of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the head God, bodily. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all, over all, or of all, principality and power, in whom also ye were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by who? The circumcision of whom? Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation, the energeko of God, who hath raised him, Jesus Christ, from the dead. Verse 13, and you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive, together with him, Jesus Christ, having forgiven you all what? Trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or respect of a holy day or of the new moon or the Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of what? Christ. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of what? Goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And now, in spite of the conflict between the old man, unrenewed mind, and the new man, renewed mind, in spite of the flesh, the old man, lusting against the Spirit, the new man, in spite of the fact that the flesh and the Spirit are contrary one to the other and contradict each other, so that we cannot do the evil which the flesh, the old man, would have us do, and we thus also do not do the good which the Spirit, the new man, would have us do, we still have peace with God. We have rest for our souls. We have passed from death to life. The conflict may be actual, experientially ever present with us. But having died with Christ, the law of sin and death has no longer dominion over us. We have passed from death to life. We have more abundant life. We are more than conquerors. And there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. I believe, Core, that the learning of the great lesson of life, at least one of the great lessons of life, is that the old man is so evil and bad that nothing can ever improve it. And the new man is so perfect that it needs no improvement. The change occurs when we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. I believe that perhaps Galatians chapter 5 capsulizes for every believer this entire section of Romans 7, 13 to 25. Galatians 5. I want to begin with verse 16. This I say then, Galatians 5, 16. This I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of what? For, verse 17, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the what? And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit or of the Spirit, ye are not under the law of sin and what? Death. I think that capsulizes the whole difficult section of Romans 7, 13 to 25. And one of the greatest things that we have to maintain in our life is the stability and the growth on the greatness of God's Word. An endeavor in our life to make the reality of the Word that we know become in concretion for us a truth now. That it's no longer the ideal is over here and the reality of it experientially becomes ours 20 years from now. Or if you're born again of God's Spirit, you're a son at that moment. Sonship is not dependent on how long you've been in. It's dependent upon birth. And the youngest son in the family has the same rights, privileges, and responsibility as the oldest son. Therefore, it's not a matter of the Word or the will of God any longer. It's a matter of believing it, utilizing it, so that the law of sin and death no longer has that power over us. The captivity is no longer enslaving us. We are not subduing the flesh. We are putting on the mind of Christ, working the Word, believing the Word, and walking on that Word. And that will also require some prayer. Well, Father, I surely thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, and your goodness. And I thank you for your blessing in allowing me to be a part of the opening of this core again this year. Thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, your goodness. Thank you for your wonderful presence and power. And Father, we know that we've reached the point of no return. We know there's no other way to go but your way. And I thank you, Father, that somehow or other we will break out of the enslavement of the captivity of the years and simply believe your word and walk into the glorious liberty of that word. And I thank you, Father, that we have the privilege of standing together as a household, that we have the joy of praying one for another and with one another, both with our understanding and in the Spirit. And I just thank you for the privilege of serving your people and your people serving you according to the greatness of your word through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.